Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back to talking stocks on the Gains podcast, and this week we're going to take a technical look at financial markets. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. As mentioned, we are going to take a technical look at financial markets today. So let's bring on Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager at MacroTides.com in San Diego. Jim, always great to have you on the Gains podcast. All right, Jim, always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
It's always great to join you, Andy.
Yeah, and so as mentioned in the lead, we're going to take a technical look at financial markets. And that's where I want you to start today, Jim. Talk about where markets are technically. I mean, we're at all-time highs. Kind of go back where we've been, where we're going, and what you've been watching.
Well, what I've been watching is really twofold. First is the Federal Reserve for obvious reasons. And the one thing I want to note is that most people have concluded that the Fed will cut rates two more times before the end of this year. And I did a deep dive in last week's weekly technical review. And what it showed, Andy, was that you really have a split in the FOMC that I haven't seen in a long time, where you had nine people looking for two cuts, but you had six people wanting to do no more cuts and only two then expecting one more cut. So I think going forward, since most people are looking for the Fed to cut twice, that if it turns out that they aren't going to be cutting twice, that potentially then is, a different story for markets to deal with. And I think it has repercussions for bonds, the dollar, gold, as well as the equity market.
And then from a technical standpoint, we're talking levels. What are we watching for here? And kind of hit on some of the highlights here as we've gotten to this point.
Yeah. Well, in terms of the S&P 500, right after the Fed's recent meeting, the S&P spiked down to 6551. So in the near term, that is important short-term support. Obviously, yesterday, the S&P traded up to almost 6700. That's near-term resistance. The two points I would make is the advanced decline line in recent weeks has continued to make new highs. And historically, Andy, when that's happening, the market is normally not vulnerable to a correction of more than 7%. Near term, one of the breadth oscillators that I use has not been all that strong. And normally that presages declines of 3-5%. So short term, I think the S&P is vulnerable to a 3-5% pullback. Longer term, the advanced decline line is suggesting that that pullback will be and represent another buying opportunity.
One of the canaries in the coal mine that I've been keeping an eye on is the transports. As you know, I've talked about in the past, we follow the Dow theory a lot. The Dow transports have been a bit of a lagger here. We've seen the other indices just roll.
Right.
On the other hand, transports haven't recaptured those highs from, I'm looking at the chart, like November of 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing the transports and believing that they're one of the ultimate leading indicators. What does that weakness tell you? Any concern for you? Do you even consider them a factor here? But I would just would love to get your take on that. You see just a little bit of a pullback where I see with the transports and stuff that, you know, there could be further weakness. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Well, it's like for people who play golf. You go to the golf course and you have, 10 clubs in your bag or more, depending on what kind of golfer you are. And so the point being is looking at the transports and their relationship to prior highs, comparing it to the Dow is one of the clubs that, you know, people should have in their golf club, golf bag. As I mentioned earlier, the advanced decline line, I think, is a more important technical indicator because it's measuring the full breadth of the overall market. And historically, prior to corrections of more than 7%, certainly bear markets, and this goes back to like 1928, and most recently, just this last February, where the S&P makes a new high and the advanced decline line doesn't, that's kind of saying underneath the surface, there's more weakness. So the fact that the AD line is still in a healthy position, to me, suggests that the market is okay for a while. At some point in time, there will be a divergence on the advanced decline line. There will be divergences between the Dow and the S&P and other market averages that start to show that stress is building underneath the market. So in the near term, Andy, I think the transports are always important to watch. At the same time, and the signal and the message that they're delivering is, gee, when the bulk of other technical indicators begin to weaken and turn negative, the transports then will all of a sudden be, you know, agreeing with that. I just don't think we're there yet.
For a lot of those investors out there who kind of picked and bought some things at the lows earlier in the year, they've seen a huge run up. They've seen the rest of their portfolio take off as well. What's your advice for them? You know, it seems like you're pretty kind of a little bit on the bullish side here. For those skittish investors, what's your advice for them? Talk them off the ledge, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of the things that people are concerned about in terms of the amount of debt that we are incurring, the budget deficit this year is not going to shrink. It's actually going to be higher than last year. Those are serious long-term problems. Another issue I'm writing about in the October Macro Tides is we have an income and wealth inequality problem in this country where a small percentage of people own the vast majority of wealth, and the same thing goes for income. Those are long-term problems that at some point in time will be addressed. But in the near term, I think the economy is in decent shape. We saw that, you know, the second quarter revision. The most important component wasn't that GDP jumped. To me, the most important thing was consumer spending increased from 1.6 to 2.5%. The St. Louis Fed estimate for Q3, Andy, is up around 3.3%. So the biggest declines that the market experiences, the bear markets, are typically associated with recessions or a serious event. And as long as the economy continues to be on decent footing, I don't think the market is vulnerable to any declines much greater than 7%, because fundamentally, as long as the economy is humming along okay, earnings are growing, institutional investors don't have a reason to sell. And I think this is an important thing that we all have to kind of keep in mind, is the stock market is kind of a long-only business approach. Pension funds invest for the long term. Financial advisors tell their clients, buy and hold. And long term, you know, that has often worked out quite well. But until there's a reason to sell, to convince institutional investors that it's in their interest to cut back on their exposure, you know, the bias in the kind of an innate trend of the market is higher. So again, to me, technically, the market looks vulnerable to a 3-5% pullback. And if and when we see the labor market materially weaken, That to me will be the big red flag that the economy is at the point of downshifting in a more meaningful way. As we saw today, the unemployment claims were like 218,000. So companies may not be hiring as aggressively as they were a year ago, Andy, but they aren't laying people off. So as long as people are employed, collecting a paycheck, you know, they're going to continue to live life and continue to spend. And that's, I think, the key thing is watching unemployment claims and watching layoffs. When that develops, that'll be the big warning sign.
You don't see a ton of downside. How does the gains listener make money? What are you buying? What do we need to look at? What do we need to start acquiring right now?
Well, unfortunately, I think it's time to sell gold. I was bullish gold for over the last year, expecting it to make a new all-time high, which it has. Last week, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal that said, hey, it's good to buy gold now. And typically, those kinds of articles show up, Andy, after something has been going up for a long time. In this case,
kind of like the old magazine thing, you know, when it showed up on a magazine, when it showed up on money, you know, for years and years and years.
Yep.
For those who don't know, if a stock, an asset class or something like that would eventually show up on like Money Magazine, everybody in the world knew about it and was too late to invest and it was the top. And it seems like that's kind of what you're getting to here.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everyone says markets discount the future, and that is true about 70% or so of the time. But at important tops, everyone is a believer. Everyone knows the story. And I think near term, that's where we're kind of getting to regarding gold. And that's where I think the Wall Street Journal article is ringing a little bit of a bell. So, you know, what I've been suggesting is scaling out of gold positions over the last week or two as gold got to 3650, 3700, and then this past Tuesday at 3770. I just think we're at a point where you want to lighten up on gold. My expectation is a pullback to about 3,400, possibly 3,250 is coming. My bet is longer term after any correction like that, Andy, we'll see gold go to higher highs. So I'm just saying this is not a good time to be a buyer of the gold. And if anything, if you own some, lightening up, I think, makes sense. The other issue is treasury yields. You know, the Fed cut rates a week or so ago, and treasury yields dipped at first, and then they reversed higher. The same thing happened in September of last year when the Fed cut by 50 basis points. The 10-year bottomed at 360, and then promptly over the following months ran up to 480, a big move up. So I think, for me, I think treasury yields are also going to work their way higher, and therefore, if you're going to be owning bonds, I would own, you know, bonds, you know, in the 5-year or less category, because they'll be more immune to higher interest rates. I think the dollar is going to make an important low if it hasn't already, but that implies that some of the foreign markets, which have benefited well this year because the dollar has dropped about 10-11%, I think they're going to go through a correction as well. So, looking at everything, Andy, I think markets are kind of at an inflection point. You know, the net result is, I think, raising a little cash, taking, you know, cutting back on emerging markets a little bit and so forth, I think makes sense. If I'm right and the dollar rallies, those markets, you know, will have a decent pullback.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Jim, and he'll give us we'll ask him about the stock market and how to jump in on some opportunities there, but we got to take a quick break. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Thursday, and we'll be right back with Jim after the break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager at MacroTides.com in San Diego. Jim, you often give a little something for the Gains listeners. Go ahead and tell them about it.
I did a deep dive regarding what the Fed did at their last meeting, Chair Powell's press conference afterwards in this past week's weekly technical review. If you would like to receive that free, JimWelshMacro@gmail.com. I'll be happy to send it out.
All right, and take Jim up on that opportunity. All right, as I was teasing, the stock market. Where's the opportunity there? You know, the Gains listeners, we love trading stocks, buying stuff. Where do you see opportunity in the market, even if there's, you know, especially you say maybe there might be a small pullback, maybe, you know, on a pullback even?
Yeah. Well, again, semiconductors have been the leading group, Andy. I just think they've gotten extended. They recently traded SMH, is the ETF that kind of covers the semiconductor stocks, traded up to about 325. I think a pullback towards 280. Is coming. And then I would be looking to be a buyer at 280, because I think the odds are, if I'm right about the overall market making another move up after a pullback, the semiconductors are going to be, I think, one of the leading groups. And I would also look at the Russell 2000. This is a little bit more interesting. Over the last 2-3 years, the Russell 2000 has kind of made a triple top, which is technically very unusual. I mean, it's rare for anything to make it a double top. Yep, you got a problem. My guess here, Andy, is, again, we'll see a pullback. I don't think the Russell will pull back as much. It traded at about 2410 today, a pullback towards 2300. My guess here is, as long as the economy stays in decent shape, and so far that seems to be the path we're on, I think the Russell 2000 could rally above 2,500 and then really, truly break out. So to me, those are the two sectors I would look at.
Okay, and you were talking
about to buy on a pullback.
Yeah, you were talking about buying these on a pullback. You mentioned the Russell and then the semis before. What vehicles are you using? What's the actionable move here?
Yeah. Well, SMH is for the semiconductors, and the Russell 2000 is IWM and or IJR, which is the Russell 600. Those both have exposure to the small caps. I would rate IJR probably more highly than IWM, but those are the two ETFs that you can trade to take advantage of any upside move in the small cap stocks.
And anything else in the stock market? You mentioned the Russell, so that's a little bit smaller stocks, and you mentioned the semis. Other places in the market you deploy dry powder?
Yeah, those are my two primary interests, Andy, at this point in time. Again, it's based in large part on technicals, which that was kind of the focal point in our conversation today. And looking at the chart of the SMH and the semiconductors and the Russell 2000, that's where I'm getting this interest in those two sectors, because I think the charts look pretty constructive, especially after a pullback.
And then again, break down those S&P levels, those key levels that we are focusing on. Gains listener, grab a pen right now and a piece of paper and take these levels down. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah. Well, that low on Fed day at 65.51 is the key short-term level. My bet here, Andy, is in the next day or so, I think the market will probably bounce. If the S&P trades under 65.51, a dip down towards the 64.50, 6,500 level is coming. Again, I'm looking for a 3-5% pullback within that context. And on the semiconductors, SMH, I would say the low 280s, the most recent low is at 281. So anything under about 285, I think, would be a place to start committing.
Okay, and then final thoughts on our discussion today, Jim, as we wrap up the Gains podcast.
Hey, as long as the economy is doing okay, and I think the one caveat is watching the unemployment claims and layoffs, because that, I think, will raise the risk level significantly for the stock market. So claims, I would say, 275 on the weekly claims would be a trigger that I think would be indicative that, all right, the economy is really starting to slow. I think that would be problematic for the equity market.
All right. Big thanks to Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager at MacroTides.com in San Diego. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Thursdays, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.